The Foundation of Religion, Chapter 5. We have just now heard Purandara Das's bhajan that religion shall in the long run be victorious. People in India have faith in religion. But here the victory of religion is scarcely to be met with. No doubt, we got independence because of the little of the religious spirit that was manifested in us. And we also did realize that the measure of our victory will be proportionate to the religious spirit that would dawn within us. But the misery, the poverty, and the misfortunes that abound in our country are certainly not signs of a victory for religion. The reason for all this is that we have not understood what true religion is. People have faith. They worship and offer oblations to their deities. Such faith is better than having no faith at all. So the foundation for religion is there. Even the poorest of the poor experiences this. Otherwise, the people of our country would have been very unhappy. But in spite of all their poverty, there is brightness on their faces. They do not look as unhappy as they should. This is because of their faith. If they had not had this basic faith, they would have been lost by now. This, however, is only the basis. The house of religion is yet to be built. Man cannot live on a foundation alone. He is in need of a roof. Only when we have a house built on the foundation of faith, we can live in it with love. What would be this religion like? The house yet to be erected would be the religion of man. This religion of man would be the same for Muslims, Christians, and Hindus alike. There have been, no doubt, attempts in the past to erect such a universal religion of man, but the building work could not be completed. The brick and mortar were not of good quality. Rain and storm have pulled the structure down. People have deserted the house. I will give you an example. Vasavanna of Mysore was a great saint, a religious guru, preceptor of the Shaivas. He had tried to build up such a religious structure. He wanted people of all classes in a society to have the same rights. He would have the caste system abolished. He prescribed that every person should put forth manual labor. But that religion is not yet in vogue. Many other saints, and not merely Vasavanna, have worked with that end in view. But the house of religion has not yet been raised. And yet, with God's grace, the foundation has remained intact. So let us again begin on this project. Some may discourage us by asking whether we also would not be frustrated in our attempt. Would not the building again collapse as before? Yes, it may collapse. But let us hope it would not. Our attempt may not succeed, but once it succeeds, the work cannot be undone. Let me give an example. Formerly, all were using khadi, for there were no mill-made cloths. With the manufacture of cloth in mills, however, khadi disappeared. But now if people use khadi, they would do so in spite of the availability of mill-made stuff. They would do so only after necessary reflection and understanding. Their use of khadi would not, therefore, wane. The khadi of those days was unreflective. Now it would be based on reflective understanding. Similarly, there was no science in those days. Attempts were, therefore, made to found religion on the basis of mere faith. The structure collapsed as soon as this faith was attacked. Religion cannot any longer subsist on unreflective faith. It has to be founded upon reflective understanding. Consider as an example a song of Purandaradasa in which it is said that a person who disobeys his parents would have the skin peeled off his body in hell. There are many such threats. Can religion stand any longer on this basis? How could this house stand rain and storm? The rain and storm came in the form of modern science, which based itself on observation and experiment and denied heaven and hell. If religion has to be re-established, it must be made to rest on the support of scientific thought. What would happen if the children do not obey their parents? We could tell the children that otherwise they could not profit by the experiences of the parents, and that in that case, the world would not progress. We could tell them that the parents had given them their love, and that if they did not in turn love their parents as well as others, they could not be hoped to be loved by others. The children of the scientific age would ask, "It is proper that we shall love our parents and obey them so long as we have not developed our powers of independent judgment. But what are we to do after that?" We reply, "You should also serve them. But if what they say is not approved by your own power of judgment, then you are not obliged to obey them in that matter." Tulsidas has said, "Who knows who would go to heaven and who to hell? But Tulsi loves to remain in this world as Ram's obedient servant." Religion cannot subsist on the basis of afterlife. We have to produce the cash value of religion. Who would care to taste that sugar which would sweeten the mouth after death? Show some immediately perceptible consequence which would be compatible with the findings of science. Live with love and cooperation, and you shall be happy and would be free from poverty and distress. Without love, violence would thrive. And as its last consequence, atom bombs would spell disaster. Gramdan won't assure you a place in heaven's realm of riches, but it shall certainly bring you unsurpassable delight here in this life. Mysore, 3rd of November, 1957.